For those of you listening to this, you might want to pause the recording and make sure that you have paper and something to write with. And then once you have paper and something to write with, you can push play and continue. Would you please join me over in Luke chapter 14? Luke chapter 14. We're not going to read very much in this chapter, and the section we're going to read primarily deals with being a disciple of Jesus and what it means. But we're just going to look at a part of this. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now let's take a look at this. Verse 28, which of you intending to build a tower? What does that represent? It represents somebody who has had an idea. I'm going to build a tower. What kind of a tower? It doesn't matter. Just, I'm going to build a tower. And this person sits and thinks and thinks and thinks about this and then makes this decision, I'm going to build a tower. And then actually begins to build the tower, but finds out either very quickly or halfway through or whatever that he can't finish it. He finds out that he was not prepared to see it through. Now he thought it would work out, but it didn't. And then he talks about people would mock and say, he began to build and he wasn't able to finish. This is an important lesson for us. Every one of us has ideas, things we want to see happen. The problem is, many of us are like this man. We have good ideas and good intentions because here Jesus never said that building the tower was a bad idea. He never said that God told him not to. He simply said the man had the idea. He began to implement this idea. Then he found out that he couldn't finish. In other words, he wasn't prepared. He thought he was, but he wasn't prepared. He thought he was going to see this project through to completion, but he wasn't fully prepared. So then, in this story, maybe we kind of wonder, did he ever finish it? I mean, obviously he wasn't able to at that time, but was he able to at a later date? Well, we don't know. I mean, this is a story that Jesus is telling to make a point. All of us build towers, some way, somehow. All of us begin building towers. All of us sometimes see towers completed, and then sometimes it doesn't work out. When you begin to build a tower, and I'll explain some of this a little bit more, but when you start to do something, and it doesn't happen, it doesn't get finished, how do you feel? One of the things that I have discovered over the years, something that many years ago I bought into, and that was it just must not have been, God's will. But it wasn't one time. God changed direction. And what's interesting is that so many Christians use that type of a cop-out. And I used to believe it, but now I understand all that is an excuse. And more Christians accept it than realize the fallacy of such a statement. So if you ever come to me and tell me something didn't work out because God changed his mind, don't be shocked and don't slap me. If I look at you and I say, no, that's not true, you miss God. God isn't wishy-washy. God doesn't jump from one thing to another like we do. And everything that we do, we have been trained to say it was God's will. And then sometimes if it totally collapses, it's like, well, it was God's will for me to fail or for me to go through this because he's trying to teach me something. We've got it down, Pat, don't we? We know what to say to excuse ourselves from any responsibility. And most Christians want to accept this. Well, I have news for you. God never sends anybody somewhere to fail. Why in the world would he send somebody someplace knowing ahead of time it is my will for you to fail? Now listen, and no matter what you do, no matter how much you pray, it's not going to work. And that's exactly what's happened in the lives of some Christians. They try to do something, it doesn't work, and then they talk, well, you know, I prayed and prayed and prayed, but you know, it must not have been God's will. All right, well, if it wasn't God's will, then how come you were praying for it to happen? What you should have been doing is praying, God, please, please let it fail, because that was God's will, right? So you're telling me you didn't know God's will. Oh, no, Brother Martin, I knew it. He told me to go do it. But what he didn't tell me was that he wanted me to go do it so I would fail and learn to trust him. Really? You know what? The more you believe foolishness is the more you become a fool. And there are a lot of foolish Christians in the world. And I'm sorry. I mean, really, I shouldn't even say I'm sorry, but I just don't buy into that stuff anymore because I know better. I know better. That's not the God we serve. Now, in the story we've read, again, there's nothing in here that says that God did or did not tell this person to build a tower. Well, I can tell you right now, if God did tell the person to build the tower, the person did not properly seek God for the completion of the tower. So yeah, it might have been God's will, but the fact that you failed doesn't mean God changed his mind. Maybe you failed to truly follow God. And now a project that God wanted done is not going to be completed, and it's not his fault. Because he supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So whatever I need to build my tower, if he's told me to build the tower, guess what? I can build the tower. Now, I want you on your paper, I'm guessing you have the paper that has the lines on it, but anyway, write number one, and under that number two, and under that number three, and then number four, and then number five. Five things. And what I want you to do, and this is not going to take a long time, or it shouldn't. What five things would you want to see happen or change in your life this year? Now, before you start writing, listen to this. What are five things you would want to see happen or change in your life in the next year? Well, Brother Martin, I'd like my husband to buy me more jewelry. Okay, that doesn't count. Well, Brother Martin, then I'd like to buy myself more jewelry. Seriously, that's one of the five things? Now, I don't want to say too much on this. Okay, here, let me give you an example. And this is an example probably no one is going to write. Well, in the next year, what I'd like to do is have a new hairstyle. You see what I'm saying? So this doesn't have to be super heavy. Well, in the next year, I would like to walk on water. Okay. As cold as it's been, you shouldn't have any problems. Let it freeze. So what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be some kind of super-duper heavy spiritual something.
but it can be.
Just what five things would you want to see happen or change in your life this year? Well, I'd like my kids to mind me more. That doesn't count. No. Now you're speaking for your children. I'm talking about you. This is right now, this is all about you. You. All about you. So what five things would you like to see happen or change in your life this year? Now, for those of you listening, if you want to pause the playback long enough to write these five things, go ahead. But I'm going to give everybody in here an opportunity to write down five things. And obviously, this shouldn't take paragraphs. One line should do it. Somebody might say, man, I don't know, I come up with three, but I just can't come up with two more. Well, that's okay. You know, you can add to the list later on. So on this list, and if you're still writing, that's okay. On this list, they can be things, you know, like I mentioned, well, I just want to have a new hairdo. Or it can be something spiritual. Doesn't matter. It's okay. Just five things that you would like to see happen or change in your life this year. And it looks like just about everybody is close to finished. Now I'm going to be presenting to you three more questions. If you want to write these questions down, that's okay. In fact, it would probably help you to do so. But these next three questions will take far more writing than what you've already done, and we'll not pause to give you time to write out your answer to these. But by writing the question, you'll have something to work on later on. So now you've written five things that you want to see happen or change in your life this year. Next question. How do these five things impact your walk with God? How do these five things impact your walk with God? Now, it can be a positive impact, it can be a negative impact, or it can be kind of a neutral impact. In other words, well, one of the five things was I want to get a new hairdo. Well, that really wouldn't impact your walk with God one way or the other. You understand what I mean by that? So that would be kind of a neutral as far as the impact is concerned. But the other things, how do they impact your walk with God? What kind of an influence do they have? Because you see, one of the things that I've come to realize, getting a new hairdo, really, it's not that big of an issue. But so many of the decisions we make have an impact for all eternity, and we don't realize how important they are. I'm going to give you an example, and it involves Kathy, and she won't get upset that I'm saying this. She's got this look on her face. It better not. Here not too long ago, and I mean within the last, you know, like month, she made a decision to go shopping. She walked into a store and she's looking around and looking at this and looking at that, and then she decided to go over and take a look at the purses. So she's looking at the purses and sees one, says, why this is cute. And she's, you know how you ladies do, and she looks at it, you know, looks at it, and then what's the next thing you do? You open it, right? To see, you know, what you know, the pockets and everything. And she opened it and she looked in there and said, there's something in here. And she looks and reaches down in and pulls out a set of keys. And she walks to the counter and says, you know, I found these in this purse over here. And the person at the counter said, well, you know, I'm not really sure who they belong to, but we got a phone call yesterday from somebody at Trader Joe's, and they said that there was a customer of theirs who had been in our store and thinks they left their keys here. Well, we couldn't find the keys and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, Kathy went to Trader Joe's and said, well, I was there, I was looking at the purse, and I found the keys, and Trader Joe's really didn't know. However, you know those little key fobby things that show that you're a member of someplace? You know, your library card and your gas card and your Kroger card. You know what I'm talking about? Well, Kathy, she saw she had all these little tabby things on there. So she went to one of the stores and said, can you scan this and tell me who owns this? So they scanned it. And said, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll pull it up. Oh, there it is. And gave Kathy the person's name and phone number. So Kathy called and said, you know, I'm calling for so-and-so. Anyway, after a couple of phone calls and messages, the lady calls back. And she says, oh my goodness, thank you so much. You know, I was out and I lost those keys and I couldn't figure out where I lost them. Now get this, I have been praying ever since to find those keys, that somebody would find them and contact me. And Kathy says, well, I got them right here. Well, not here. And so the lady and her husband came by the house and got the keys. Now, you don't think God was involved with that? Kathy, this, and honestly, I think about this and it's like, God, how in the world? How do you do this? How? Because when Kathy was at home, you know, she didn't come to me and she says, oh, Jim, I've been praying all day and the Holy Ghost told me, go to Steinmart. Go to Steinmart. It wasn't. She just decided, you know, I'd like to spend some money today. So she decided, I think I'll go to Steinmart. And all of the stores she could have gone to, all of the stores, all of them that she could have gone to, was it Steinmart? It was TJ Maxx. Okay, same thing. So all of the stores that she could have gone to, and she picked the one store where that lady had been, approximately 24 hours after that lady had been there, went to the purse department out of all the departments in that store. And listen, Kathy doesn't need another purse, okay? Okay, listen. You know, I'm going to go over here and preach to this side. Now, she says she wasn't looking to buy one. Yeah, hallelujah. So, out of all the departments, she went to the purse department. Out of all the purses, she was drawn to the one purse where her sister in the Lord had accidentally dropped her keys. And she picked that purse up, but she didn't just pick it up. She opened it, looked in it, and reached inside. What simple decisions those were. Now all the ladies in here are thinking, oh, well, I'm going to the store tomorrow. I'm going to go to the person. Okay, but do you see how this works? Because none of us in here can stand up and say exactly, step by step, how that happened. We know it happened, but how in the world did God have his hand in that? Because God had his hand in that. And here they are. The lady got her keys back. She was, you know, concerned, and she'd been praying, and you know, God, where are the keys? God, please help somebody find the keys. And here God says, okay. That simple decision, was it a prompting by the Holy Spirit? Well, we can call it that, but see, she didn't feel anything. But every decision that we make can have an impact for all eternity. It's that important for us, especially as believers. These things that you have written down, You know, how do they impact your walk with God? Now, the next question. I'm actually going to give you four more questions. You know, how did you come up with these five things? How did you come up with these five things? And see, you might be thinking, well, I don't know, it just seemed like a good thing to do. Yeah, well, that's exactly what Kathy thought when she went to TJ Maxx. It just seemed like a good thing to do. But God was behind it. Does that mean that all five things on your list, God was behind or is behind them? I don't know. We'll get to that. I don't know. But how did you come up with these five things? Because, see, building the tower in Luke 14 was extremely important to this man. Why? We don't know. But it was very important to him, so important that he began construction. It meant something to him. So these five things that you have on your list, they obviously mean something to you. Okay, why? And, you know, like, how did you come up with these five things? What motivated you to put these on the list? These five more than anything else. Why did you do that? Most might say, well, I'm not really sure. Maybe a couple of them you know for sure. Maybe all five you really understand. But it's very possible that you're not sure why these five mean that much to you. Okay, next question. Since you've put these five things on the list as being five things you want to see happen or change in your life during this year, what plans do you have to see these five things happen or change? What plans do you have to see these five things happen or change? And I'll read that one more time. What plans do you have to see these five things happen or change? Now, it would be pretty simple. It's like, well, I want a new hairdo. Okay, and your plan is what? Call and make an appointment. Okay, pretty simple. But beyond that, beyond the simplicity of that, what plans do you have to see these five things happen or change? My guess is that for some of the things, if not all of them on your list, you have no plans. So they're not really plans. They're hopes, but they're not plans. They're not things, I mean, you're hoping these things are going to come to pass, but you don't have any plan to do anything. You have an idea. You have a concept in your mind, and boy, it sure would be nice if by the end of the year, whatever happens or changes. Okay, well, praise God. But what plans do you have to see these five things happen or change? Now, somebody might say, well, I've got these plans here. This is how I intend to do this. Maybe you do have some plans to see one or all of the things on your list come to pass. Well, here's the last question. How did you come up with these plans? How did you come up with these plans? Most Christians, this is another area where we've learned how to cover our tracks by saying, well, God gave them to me. I wouldn't have these plans if the Lord hadn't given them to me. You know what? Maybe so. But how do you know? See, just because something pops up in your mind doesn't mean it's from God. So how do you know these plans that you have? And if you don't have any plans, well, okay, what are you going to do? Because if you don't have any plans to see these five things happen or change, then by the end of the year, I'm guessing it's not going to happen. Which means next year, you'd have the same list. This kind of goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. How many times do we have things we'd like to do, ideas, whatever it would be, and it never happens, or we start, and like the guy with the tower, we never get it completed, and so how do we feel? How do we feel? Well, we're not happy, but the longer this goes on, eventually we stop being proactive in life relative to our walk with God. And we simply are responsive and reactive, coasting. Just coasting. I remember years ago, we had a car. And this car had all kinds of little gizmos and gadgets on it. And it also had one of these little things, a display that would tell you what your current gas mileage was as you're driving. And so it was kind of neat, you know, to watch that. And then as I'd be going kind of downhill, I'd take my foot off the gas pedal and just see the, you know, I'm getting 99 miles per gallon. Boy, this is cool. Well, see, that's what happens. Eventually we get to the place we're just kind of coasting. And nothing really happens. And then that is, I guess I could say it like this, a seed for frustration in life. As in, I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of nothing happening. I'm tired. And you're not even sure why you're saying things like that. And you can't even give a good explanation as to how did I get to this place? I don't know. And some Christians might say, well, I just thought serving the Lord would be better than this. And on it goes. Okay. So then one of the things on your list might be make serving the Lord better. Well, I don't know what that means, but it must mean something to you if you put it on your list. Very good. How are you going to do that? What is your plan to see that take place? And really, this whole concept of how did you come up with these plans? Because what I'm doing now is I'm stimulating thought. And so a lot of people may be hearing this, and some of you here tonight, you know, the wheels may be turning. Okay, yeah, I got these five things, and I want to see them by the end of the year, and or at least want to get them started. At least by the end of the year, I want to have them started. And okay, yeah, boy, you know, that's right, I got to have a plan. So plan. What do I do? And come up with ideas about it. But how do you know that the plan you've come up with is what you're supposed to do? In fact, are you sure that these plans are all lined up with what God wants you to do? Meaning, did you ever pray? Well, obviously not, because I just asked the question tonight. So let me rephrase that. Don't you think it would be valuable to pray about these five things that you put on your list? Because see, it's very possible that all five things on that list are things that God wants you to do, but maybe only three of them this year. See what I mean? So it's not only about these five things, but it's also, okay, God, what is the order of priority for these things? Here's where a lot of Christians run into trouble. They have things that maybe, let's just say, I've got my list of five things that God, that I know God wants me to do. I mean, I prayed and I know God wants me to do these five things. So they start all five. Now what's happened? You're spread too thin and you can't get anything done. Then what do? You get frustrated because you can't get anything done. And then what happens when you get frustrated? You quit. Now I would ask for a show of hands, but everybody would probably ask me, Brother Martin, that's me. So, what I'm going to do is give you some verses to help you in this whole process. The whole process of, well, really, knowing for sure that these five things are what God wants you to do, and then receiving His plan for these things to be accomplished. Now, I'm going to make reference to the verse, and I'm just going to read it to you, but you can write the verse reference down, and then you can read them later on. Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5. Show me thy ways. Well, why do I need to know his ways? Because if this plan, if these things line up with his plan for your life, then that means he knows the way that these things need to be accomplished. In other words, it's you see it as being five things that you've come up with, but if these five things originated with him, then these are five things from him to you that he wants done. See this? So therefore, if it's his idea, then he knows how it's supposed to work out and what to do. Psalm 27, 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I'm going to read this again. Psalm 27, 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And you may think, well, okay, what do enemies have to do with this? One of the greatest enemies you will ever face in your life is a lack of knowledge. Because Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What do you think happened to the man with the tower? It was a lack of knowledge. It wasn't simply a lack of money, it was a lack of knowledge. Meaning, he did not know to plan ahead enough concerning the money it took to build the tower. Meaning, he did not know how much it was going to cost to build that tower. He thought he knew, but he came to a place of, quote, destruction. A lack of knowledge is one of the greatest enemies any Christian is going to face. And yet, God can solve that. That's why he says, teach me thy way. Lead me in a plain path. Psalm 32, verse 8. God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. See, this isn't simply about, I will show you how to take one step after another. I will show you the fullness of what you are to do. I will identify it for you. God knows what we need to do more than we know what we need to do. We have a pretty good idea. Well, I need to pray more. God might say, well, yeah, you do, but more importantly for you is to worship more. Yeah, you need to pray more, but you need to worship more than you pray right now in your life. You see this? Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. In other words, you teach me your way, and I will walk in thy truth, the truth of the way that you have established for my life, the truth of what five things. And God might say, those five things need to be put on the shelf. I'm going to give you another five. It's like, okay. And so you put out, write down what he says. And then you walk in that truth, and to unite my heart to fear thy name. In other words, I want my heart to be united with yours when it comes to how I respect you and what you want done in my life. You see, God's not going to do this for you. He'll show you what needs to be done. He'll show you how to do it, but he won't do it for you. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The reason this one is so important is because Scripture helps to condition you to understand God's communication. Because Scripture is revelation of God's mind, his thought process, his words. Scripture is a revelation of how God communicates with humanity. And so therefore, his word helps to condition me to understand what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. I yield me over to you. I want you to help me know the way wherein I should walk. I want you to help me understand this. See, this is, I mean, there's so many verses relative to this concept. And over and over, and there's a few more here I'm going to read, but over and over again, God is, he's trying to get across to us. Let me say it in a very, I don't know, streetwise manner. God's trying to get across to us that compared to him, we're pretty dumb. I mean, hey, can you create a universe? I rest my case. Now, he knows we're not dumb, but yet we just don't see things and understand things and know things the way that he does, but he's willing to share his knowledge. So when it comes to us understanding and knowing and doing and all this other, he's the one that's got the answers. You know, Pastor, I need counseling. Okay, well, let's talk then. Pastor, I just don't know what to do. Like I know? Pastor, should I do this? Pastor, now sometimes it's pretty obvious. Pastor, should I marry this person? I mean, they're not born again. They don't even believe in God. But, you know, boy, I really love them. Number one, how on God's green earth can you let yourself fall in love with somebody like that? That didn't just happen overnight. You've been playing in the devil's backyard here. Even if you haven't been involved in sin, still it's wrong. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I mean, there's another one I didn't even write down. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. You know, God wants us to know there's a limit to what we can accomplish by ourselves. And we can accomplish a whole lot of really good things by ourselves. The more mature we become in Christ, the more good things that we can accomplish. The problem is, remember earlier when I was sharing that every decision we make can have an impact for eternity, and we don't realize the magnitude of that impact? So a lot of the things that we do that really are good things, and everybody's going to say, wow, what a good thing. That's praise God. God was in that. Well, maybe he wasn't. And you know, God loves us so much, there's this thing called grace. He doesn't bless when we're out of his will, but his grace cushions the blow. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. Now listen to this, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, the Holy Spirit has been sent to bring this information to us. The more that we pray in the Spirit is the more that our spirit is coming to the place of receiving the information concerning, you know, our five things. What to do, how to do, change the five things, don't change the five things, I mean, whatever it would be. But the more that we pray in tongues is the more that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us according to the will of God. So I guess, you know, with that in mind, why wouldn't you want to pray in tongues? See, there are a lot of people, they're going to spend eternity in heaven because they love Jesus and they are born again. But when somebody starts saying things like, well, you don't need to pray in tongues, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and I all disagree. You do need to pray in tongues. No matter how intelligent you are, you don't know more than God. No matter how many reference books you have, no matter how accomplished you are in speaking and understanding Greek and Hebrew and all, you don't know as much as God. None of us do. But the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us with this. And then Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, comprehend, understand, fully grasp, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. What he's telling you right there is, until you experience this mind transforming, your mind is not lined up with the mind of Christ. And this is a continual process. See, my mind might be fully lined up with God when it comes to prayer. But my mind may not be fully lined up with God when it comes to worship. Because, see, you'll have a lot of people out there who will say, yeah, man, you got to pray in tongues, got to pray in tongues. But then it's like, well, this worship stuff, I don't know. Okay, well, see, your mind has not been transformed to the comprehension of why worship is so critical. Now, you understand the critical nature of praying in tongues, but not the whole aspect of worship. Now, that's just one example. And he says, be transformed. You're already born again. So it's not that our spirit needs to be born again. Our spirit is born again, and that's what qualifies us to have our mind transformed. Spiritually speaking, I have the mind of Christ, meaning I have the potential to understand the things of God. Paul wrote about this in Romans. Well, actually, he talked about it over there some in Corinthians as well. But we have the ability to understand things that we never before could understand. As my mind is transformed to being lined up with God's mind, then I'm going to be able to make decisions out of my mind being lined up with His and having that knowledge. So then I can look at my list and I can say, okay, I can see now that we need to eliminate numbers 3 and 5. Numbers 1, 2, and 4, got to work on those. And I'm supposed to work on number 4 first. And as far as numbers 1 and 2, He's not going to tell me until I have finished number 4. See what I mean? When we build our tower, if we do it from this approach, you know what's going to happen? The tower is going to be finished. Now, at the beginning of this, I ask, what 5 things would you want to see happen or change in your life this year? You have put on your list what you'd like to see happen by the end of the year. Everything on your list may truly be of God. I'm not saying it isn't. For example, I really do want to pray more. I want to spend more time with God. Okay. God wants that for you too. I would say, yeah, that should be on there. But now how are you going to do that? And how many times have we been frustrated? He's like, oh, you know, I try so hard. I just want to spend time with God. And it's like, I just can't seem to do it. I just can't seem to do it. Okay. Does God want to spend more time with you? Yes. So that means there is a way to do it, but you've been trying to figure it out with your mind. But when your mind is transformed to His, you understand how to do it. Let me tell you one of the things that I have done. And however this would apply to you relative to what we're thinking about, looking at, you know, comprehending here tonight, you know, ask, but that's up to you. But one of the things that I did was pray and ask God to help me not have as much interest in college football. Now, I know some of you may think, well, blasphemy, Brother Martin. No. The reason is because I felt it would be the right thing. Man, I used to, man, there'd be time, I'd, you know, 5-6 hours or longer in front of the TV watching one game after the other. Because nowadays, with all the channels out there, you can watch games from, I mean, all day long, all night long. It's like, you know what? Every year, you know, super team plays super team. And and on it goes. You know, I don't need this. And so I prayed. And I'll tell you what's interesting. It's that desire to watch all that football, it's been lifting more and more. I've even prayed to not have as much of an interest in watching Ohio State play. Now, I know here in the state of Ohio, that'll get you, you know, tarred and feathered. But I did. And the reason is because there are things I just don't want them to have the place of priority in my life that they've had in the past. And so therefore, God, I yield my desire for this over to you. Many years ago, 1989, I used to play softball. Oh my goodness, did I play softball. There were times when I was playing 4 nights a week, and like 2 or 3 of those nights would be doubleheaders and then tournaments on the weekend. Tons of games, man. And I just wanted to play more and more and more. Well, I recognized the call of God on my life. And it came to the place to where I can't continue like this and truly fulfill what God has called me to do. And so I began praying, God, this desire to play softball, I cast it over onto you. I yield it over to you, and I give you permission to work on me so that I no longer have that feeling that I want to play. And by the end of 1989, by the end of softball season 1989, I can remember when that last game was over, I was so happy. I'd never been happy to see a season end. I used to try and figure ways to come up with the money to build a dome stadium to play year-round. I know that, well, that's weird, Brother Martin. I don't care. That's the way I was. I didn't want to stop. But by the end of that season, 1989, it was gone. That desire was gone. Now, I played 2 or 3 seasons after that, but I didn't enjoy it. Not the way I used to. You know, I showed up, and I didn't even really care that much if we won. That's a travesty. Now, see, I guess those could have been things on my list. And I wanted to see them change. Playing softball is not a sin. Watching football is not a sin. But I wanted to see change in me. And so I dealt with it like that. Okay, see, I don't know how that would apply to you. But what I'm telling you is this. If you're sincere about whatever's on your list and whatever you know you need to do and so on and so forth, if you're sincere about it and you go to God over it and you mean it, I'm telling you now, that change will happen, and the change starts on the inside. Not externally, internally. It will change. You can even... Okay, here's one. Well, I know I really need to, you know, like kind of, well, be more faithful in my church attendance. Okay, that's a good thing. But you don't really feel like it right now, do you? No, Brother Martin, I don't. Okay, you know what? You go to God and you say, God, I'm not supposed to forsake the assembling of myself and my brothers and sisters in Christ. They need me. I need them. I'm asking, I yield over to you whatever is in me that doesn't want to go. And I'm asking you to work on me to bring about a change in that so that I look forward to being there every time the doors open. And you know what? He's up in heaven saying, oh, finally. He will help you with that. He'll bring about the change. But see, you have to come to the... Even if you don't feel like you want the change, but you know you need the change. If you just approach him and say, don't feel like it, don't really want it, but I know it's the best thing for me, so, you know, seek God. These things on your list. You know what? I don't know what's there. You and God do. But assuming all those things are what God wants done in your life, I'm telling you, it's very possible that by the end of the year, they can all be fulfilled. All of them. Just talk to God about it. Don't beat yourself over the head over it. About it. Just talk to Him about it. Don't try to make it happen on your own. Let the ox pull the cart. Don't push the cart. You see what I'm getting at? Change is possible. Because if God be for us, who can be against us?